Grace and peace be yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been looking at Romans for a lot of weeks, and I hope by now everybody has the Romans chapters 1 to 8 is the gospel, right? Chapters 1 to 8 is the sweet and good news that sinners like us are accounted righteous before God for the sake of Christ, right? Not the stuff you do, not the stuff you earn, not trying to make God happy, not who you are, not your last name, not where you're from. The unmerited grace of God in Jesus Christ has said to us, we are sons and daughters of God, and we received it by faith. Romans 1 to 8. You can't know it well enough. Even if you know it, read it again. All the wonderful passages in Romans 1 to 8. I love that section of the Bible, Romans 1 to 8. And the last 3 weeks, we've been in chapters 9 to 11, where St. Paul has talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ for all people, Jew and Gentile. And in Romans 9 to 11, he pauses and he says, what about Israel? Right? What about Israel? We need to know this as Bible-believing Christians that, and we, by the way, most of us are Gentiles, right? Let's say it this way. If you are not an ethnically Jewish person, you're a Gentile, right? It's just that simple. Even on the map, Israel tiny, everybody else, Gentile. If you're a German, what are you? What about if you're Italian? And if you're Nigerian, all Gentiles. God has always had a special relationship with Israel. Right? I want us to know that. That's one thing I'm... So the first message, part of this message is this. God has always had a special relationship with Israel, beginning all the way back at the call to Abraham. Can you imagine? Of all the peoples on the face of the earth, God said, he's got a plan. He's got a work that he wants to do, but he has to work it somehow. And he said to Abraham, I'm going to work it through you and your family. Wouldn't that be awesome? If God said, he came to your house, I'm going to work through you and your family, this is where the promise is coming from. And then when you read the rest of the Old Testament, what is it? God working in and among and through Israel. Can you imagine the history of the nation? By the way, the ebbs and the flows, right? They sometimes obey God, they sometimes don't. But the renewal of the promise, the protection, the bringing them out of slavery. Can you imagine the promise to David that one of your sons will sit on the throne forever? That's God's special relationship with Israel, isn't it? And the promise of the Messiah, where God has not just said, I have a plan, generally speaking. He said that I am going to bring salvation to the world, the whole globe, through the Messiah who comes from Israel. And that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 9, 1 to 3, when he says, when you think of Israel, patriarchs, promises, covenants, the temple, that's wonderful, isn't it? Can you imagine? I always want to think these three things. Whenever I think of that, I think of history, I think of connection, I think of belonging. Isn't that what that is? To know that there's a history before I was born, by the way, that's a problem in our culture nowadays, right? Some people seem to think that there wasn't a world before they got here, right? But there's a history, and then I'm connected to it, and it gives me a sense of belonging. There's a people that I belong to. That's a wonderful thing to have in Israel. And then, with God working through Israel, I want to say the next thing is this, that the fulfillment of that in Christ, right? The fulfillment of all that in Christ. It's not just that Abraham is Jewish, that David is Jewish, that Isaiah is Jewish. Guess what Jesus is? Jewish, right? We're right. We say Jesus is the God-man. Sometimes we forget, and I want to say this clearly. Jesus was born into this world as a Jewish man. He was raised by Jewish parents. Am I right? When they circumcised him on the eighth day, what were they doing? Keeping Jewish law. Is that right? Jesus was predicted, please hear this, by Jewish prophets who wrote Jewish scriptures. And when Jesus began his ministry, he called 12 apostles. Guess what they were? How many of the 12 were Jewish? 12. That's amazing stuff, isn't it? The New Testament, with the exception of one writer, all of the New Testament, not just old, all of the New Testament written by Jewish men. What's the exception? Luke, right? Luke and Acts written by Luke. That sounds wonderful. The history, the connection, the belonging, the special relationship, and that is how St. Paul gets to, in Romans 9, saying that his unceasing anguish is, why do most Jews not believe? Can you imagine? Everything I've said, all that be true, the majority of Israel does not know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Messiah. Paul is a Jewish man. He is so upset by this. Can you imagine? He says, I would lose my own salvation if it would help Israel. Right? Can you imagine his passion for the lost? He says this in Romans 9:6. It's an important concept for us to get. Not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. He's used the word Israel in two different ways, right? Not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. And here is how Israel, not all, right, but many, have missed salvation. When he says not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, he is saying that many people believe that you are saved by your ancestry, right? They were thinking, it doesn't matter how I live, I'm Jewish, right? Weren't people saying that? When Jesus was teaching among the people, he said, don't say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. Why? Because God can raise up sons to Abraham from rocks, right? They were saying, it doesn't matter. By the way, do people do that now? I call it salvation by pedigree. Do people believe in salvation by pedigree? I'll tell you this. When you're a pastor, sometimes you meet people who used to be connected to the church and they've walked away from the church. And then when you meet them in the moment of crisis, you know what the first thing they say? My family used to be really active at that Lutheran church downtown. First thing they say, right? Very often they tell me, my father was the chairman of a board. What does that have to do with anything? Are you saved by pedigree? No. You are not. If the Bible was written for our instruction, and it was, we would look at Israel and say, well, Israel missed it because they thought that they were saved just by being Israel. We need to apply that to us and say, did you know that salvation does not consist of having a German last name? Did everybody know that? If you don't have a German name, you're thinking, well, thanks be to God for that good news, right? So the first thing is they thought there was salvation by pedigree, but the second thing, and Paul talks about this in Romans 10, they sought to establish their own righteousness, and isn't that what people do? They think, if religion is a bunch of rules, I'll do the rules and I'll be saved. But if you do all the rules, do you need a savior? No. And that's how they miss the Christ. Paul says you're not saved by your righteousness, you're saved by a righteousness that comes from God. Key word, from God. There's a righteousness that comes from God. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not your righteousness, but to receive it. And you say, well, Paul, that sounds great. How do I get this faith? Romans 10:17, that was last week, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of Christ. So, all the wonderful things about Israel's history, and then many missed it, and that's why Romans 11 gets to this key phrase. I want you to learn these four words. We've been grafted in. Bible The Bible depicts God's Old Testament people as being an olive tree. We were talking about this at lunch. I wasn't trying to prepare my sermon at lunchtime. Apologies to my family. But God, we were talking about olive trees are all over Israel. You go to Israel, there's olive trees everywhere. You sit down at a table, there's olives. So God's using a standard thing. He's saying the olive tree, which they live forever, right? And they just get bigger and bigger over time. And it's a wonderful fruit, right? But God has always said, Israel's like my olive tree. But because many don't believe, some of the branches have been broken off. And if those branches have been broken off, what happened to us? We've been grafted in. Everything I said about Israel and its history and its special relationship with God, God has said to us Gentiles, assuming that's mostly us, God has said to us, I'm going to take you, and I love this, by the way, he says, and you are a wild olive tree. Can you imagine that? Paul has said, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. Can you imagine that Paul, looking at Gentiles, he still thinks we're kind of wild? Maybe he's right? We're certainly different from what his original culture was. But he says, I'm going to take a wild olive branch, and I'm going to graft that in to my historic people. That's a wonderful thing, right? Everything we said about Israel, guess what? You know who we are? We're Israel. Isn't that right? When the Bible says we've been grafted in, the root, the base of the thing, the main thing of the tree is Israel, and you've been what? Grafted in, that makes you Israel. That's a cool thing, right? Romans 10:10 quotes Isaiah 65. So even Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, anticipated this when he said, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. And so we should delight in that. We should delight in Romans 1-8, that we are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in Romans 9:10-11, we should be delighted. We should leave church and I think we have been grafted in, adopted into God's family. We are God's. He's called us Israel. In Galatians 6:16, Paul looks at the church and says, the Israel of God. That's nice, right? So you know what we have? When we look at the Old Testament, we should have history, connection, belonging. Abraham, Moses, Deborah, David. Do you know whose story that is? That's our story. Is that right? Again, no matter what you look like, where you come from, whatever your last name is, that's your story. I always say this with a slightly broken heart. Every once in a while, a Christian will say to me, Pastor Walt, if we have the New Testament, why do we even need the Old? And I put my theologian hat on and I try to say something deep. So I say something like, well, when you study the Old Testament, you get to know about God and his character and his nature and his plans and his purposes. You get to know how he works. You get to know about morality. You get to know about faith and sanctified living. But you know what? Here's the short answer. When somebody says, do we need the Old Testament? Here's the short answer. We are Israel. Those are our books. That works just as well, doesn't it? We're Israel. Those are our books. Last message from Paul is this. And it's really funny that he does this because he's building us up, right? You've been grafted in. You've been adopted by God. You're as good as Israel. Next message. Don't become arrogant. Romans 11:1. Has God rejected his people? No. Romans 11:11. Has Israel fallen so that they can't get back up again? No. By the way, in Greek, those two phrases are a very strong negative. We could almost translate it, no way. When somebody says no way, you say way. All right? No. Right? No way. Paul said, perish the thought. Is Israel? Have we been grafted in so that Israel's lost? Have we been grafted in so as to replace Israel? Absolutely not. The gospel is good for Jew and Gentile. If salvation wasn't by pedigree for them, it's not by pedigree for us. And if God says, don't establish your righteousness, but hear the gospel, he's told us, don't establish your righteousness, hear the gospel. Did you know that in the early decades of the church was so heavily Jewish, they had to debate whether we could let Gentiles in? Isn't that a funny thing? Read the book of Acts. The first couple times that there's the conversion of a Gentile, there's a hesitancy about that, isn't it? God has to give Peter a dream to go. When they baptize Gentiles, the church in Jerusalem sets up an investigation. They literally are debating, can Gentiles be saved? And to us, it's kind of funny because in a Gentile church, we never wonder, can Gentiles be saved? But I want to say this. It's gone so far the other way that sometimes Gentiles have this thought in their head, can Jewish people be saved? You know what the answer to that is? Yes. Paul says, if we've been grafted in and we were a bunch of wild olive branches, the original olive branch, that can be grafted back in. That's why our reading tonight ended with these words, and in this way, all Israel will be saved. Again, remember, Israel can mean multiple things. Here, Israel means everybody who has saving faith. All Israel will be saved. Remember, not all descended from Israel or Israel, but all Israel is saved because everybody who has faith in Christ is saved. How are Gentiles saved? By faith in Christ. How are Jews saved? By faith in Christ. When he says all Israel will be saved, he's saying Jews and Gentiles in one church. God knows how many, we don't. But all of them will be saved in the name of Christ. Right? Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.